SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
All right, off and running in tonight's edition of Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159. Lisi in the cockpit for the next couple of hours. But fear not, Mikey's in the building somewhere, somehow. We're going to get the Friday night college and NFL Carver and Lisi picks. Hour number one, we're going to hit on college football. Hour number two, we're going to break down the NFL. Hopefully, Mikey at the Catalina Wine Mixer is going to call in. Now, he's got spotty internet. We don't know if he'll be able to break through, but Matias, fear not, has Mike's picks. Carver's picks for both college and the NFL. It's a big night. We got college football underway right here. Louisville trailing, ACC battle. Boston College about 6 minutes left in the first quarter. BC up 7-0. We got the battle in the Mountain West tonight. We got UNLV and Boise State. Ashton Genty with a 190.5 rushing total. Whichever team wins this will most likely have an inside track at a Mountain West title and potentially a college football playoff appearance. Right now on FanDuel, give you the updated line, Boise State, -4.5, total is 63.5. Now, both of these teams like to run it. As you know, UNLV more of an up-tempo attack, much like Josh Heupel in Tennessee. So this is the contrast a little bit. Both front sevens very good in terms of run support, giving up less than 110 yards per game. So whichever defense breaks first, most likely, obviously, will lose this matchup. We'll keep you updated. Don't have a pick yet. Really turning my attention to the slate on Saturday. But don't worry. Next couple of hours, we'll dive into some live action. I got you covered. I got the chat up as well. You want to hit me up, baseball, football, him. We'll break it down. Also, I think it's UFC 308, if I'm not mistaken. We'll bring in an hour or two. Matias, he'll break down that card. So we'll see how that goes. I'm dealing with a pinched nerve, so I can't move my neck. I'm a little limited. Can't move. Went to the chiropractor today. I'm staving off some in-game injuries, Matias, but I'll get it done somehow, some way. World Series game one about to start. You got Flaherty and Gerrit Cole on the mound. Don't have anything in this game right now. If I had a pick for the series, I would lean to the Yankees. I'll go hometown, even though I'm not a Yankees fan. Otani, he pitches, he hits. He's only batting this year 50-50. Can he carry them to a World Series title? Total is 8.5. Game one, I'm going to say probably lean to the under. And I know a majority of those games flew over the total, but right here, right now, you got the Yankees plus 106 on the money line. You got the Dodgers at minus 124. They're at home, 8:08 first pitch. We're about 3 minutes away. I'm not jumping in anything right now pregame. I'll see what plays out. If I had a bet right now, I would lean to the under. It's minus 105. I think it's going to be World Series baseball. Cole on the mound. Maybe you get a little defense in game one, feeling out type of process. Nobody wants to throw caution to the wind, and maybe we go under the total in game number one. Some thoughts about last night quickly. When you look at that matchup, college football, Pitt very under the radar. They win again, dominating 41-13 over Syracuse. They got three pick sixes on Kyle McCord. Unbelievable when you think about that. I didn't even really watch that game. I was on Sports Grid covering the LA Rams and Minnesota Vikings. But this team potentially can be a spoiler in the ACC. Everybody looking at Clemson, everybody looking at Miami. All they do is win. I know they're winning ugly the last couple of weeks, but it doesn't matter. Pitt and Narduzzi still undefeated. Holstein an under-the-radar selection, really hasn't had to do much in back-to-back weeks against Cal. They grind it out. He throws for less than 200. Last night, I think he had 82 passing yards in the first half. I could be mistaken, but, you know, McCord handed that game on a silver platter. So we'll get into the college football. Huge slate. You got five top 25 battles. Notre Dame and Navy on a neutral field. We'll dive into that. We also have the battle in Kyle Field, LSU and Texas A&M, the two teams that are undefeated in the SEC. We knew about LSU. Mike Elko doing a fantastic job in year number one. Let's not forget, 8.5 win total this year, high expectations. Connor Wigman, the journeyman quarterback, got the victory over LSU a couple of years ago, 38-23. That was the game that Jaden Daniels basically fumbled the game away. It was tied up at 17. Daniels fumbled. If LSU would have won that game a couple of years ago and knocked off Georgia in the SEC championship game, they potentially could have been the first two-loss team to crack the college football playoff. But time will tell. LSU has lost to the last three in Kyle Field by an average margin of defeat of 10 points per game. We got Texas on the road against Vanderbilt. Can Texas get off the mat? Jalen Milroe and Kalen DeBoer, welcome to Tuscaloosa, baby. Huh? This ain't your daddy's Alabama, is it? Nick Saban out the door. All of a sudden, Kalen DeBoer feeling the pressure. You think he wishes he was in Seattle or Fresno State now? Oh, man. Feeling the pressure. Two regular season losses. When they dropped this game to Missouri, and I know nobody thinks that, but if they do, 16.5 point favorites, three regular season losses, the dynasty, the Nick Saban dynasty, potentially over in Tuscaloosa in year number one. Oh, baby. Remember Brian Harsin for Auburn. How long did he last? Not even 2 years. Kalen DeBoer figuring it out fast. This isn't Fresno or Washington, so we'll dive into that game as well. Some other under-the-radar games. We have Texas Tech and TCU, Big 12. That has some Big 12 implications. BYU, UCF. That has huge implications for the conference title as well. BYU gets through this game. They have a pretty easy road. Obviously, not a walk in the park, but they have an easy road potentially to be one of the two teams to make it to fight for a Big 12 championship. We'll dive into that as well. NFL, great games on tap this weekend. You got the battle of Washington and Chicago. People were hoping that it would be Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. Daniels didn't practice yet again today. Most likely he's out. It'll be former Heisman Trophy winner Marcus Mariota getting the start. 3-point dogs at home. You got Carolina, Bryce Young. That's a sneaky game, and that might make my card, so I can't talk too much about it on the NFL side. But Bryce Young does get the start again in Denver. 10.5 point dogs there. You got Buffalo on the road in Seattle. Very tough matchup, laying 3. You got the Cowboys in San Francisco. And I said this earlier on Football Full Circle. If Dallas loses this game, if Dallas somehow loses this game, they're 4.5 point dogs, and they get blown out, don't be shocked if Mike McCarthy, yeah, I said it, is not the coach in Dallas anymore come Monday. Because it's one thing to lose to San Fran yet again when they have all of their weapons. But when Debo's in the hospital with pneumonia, Ayuk's done for the year, Kittle's banged up, CMC is done, and you still lose with Dak and CD, and that offense, something's got to change. Don't be shocked if they lose on Sunday night, bad, maybe makes an executive decision and chops McCarthy. So those are the storylines that we have on Carver and Leaf. We are just getting started, baby. Buckle up. We got a lot to talk about. Coming back, college football week number 9.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah, baby. Rocking and rolling, Carver and Lisi. Here we go. Week number 9 of the college football season starts actually tonight. We actually started last night with that ACC battle in Pittsburgh. We talked about Pittsburgh being undefeated still with Pat Narduzzi and the crew. They potentially could be a dark horse. Louisville on the ropes yet again tonight, but they're driving. Looks like a pass breakup. Louisville down 7-0. I might jump into this game at some point. Looks like a lower scoring game right now in Chestnut Hill. We'll see if we can get a good number heading into the second quarter. I mentioned about the big games in college football. Let's jump on the ones that I probably are not going to make my list. So we'll talk about a few that aren't going to be on the docket come Saturday. Tune into college football today as well. I'll be there with Kevin Walsh and Ben Stevens, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. We'll get you covered straight through kickoff. But we'll talk about the battle between Navy and Notre Dame. Notre Dame's won 6 straight in the series. They won the last 4 by an average margin of victory of 25.5 points per game. Remember week number 1 last year, they started out in Dublin. That was the Sam Hartman game. They dominated from start to finish as a 20.5 point favorite, win that ball game 42-3. But that was the first game for the head coach. Remember, he took off for Kenny Niumatalolo. That was his first game. He was the defensive coordinator, making his first start as head coach. Really understood new responsibilities. I thought it caught up with them. They were a little bit undermanned, and Notre Dame won that matchup. Different situation now. You have this team in Navy averaging 274 rushing yards per game. We know that they like to run the football, but the secondary for Navy, too, very good. And the reason why I bring that up is we talk about matchups, right? Forget the spread ATS perspective. Let's just look at the football perspective when you play a triple option. When you play a triple option attack, there's 2 things you need. You need dominant defensive tackles that can force double teams, right? So the zone blocking for a triple option attack doesn't take you out, and your linebackers can make plays and run support and run sideline to sideline. But you also need an above-average offensive passing attack. If you have a dynamic quarterback, that is the recipe to beat, in my opinion, a triple option attack. Think about a couple of years ago when Wake Forest went on the road against Army, right? They had Sam Hartman. They started fast. They jumped out to a double-digit lead, never looked back. They put the pressure on Army to match them score for score. Same type of thing. You got to think of it as like a half court versus an up-tempo offense in college basketball or NBA. It doesn't really matter. But the team that runs, that jumps out early on a 20-0 run, really puts the half-court team at a disadvantage. That's what Notre Dame should do, right? The problem is that Notre Dame with Riley Leonard this year have been a little bit more methodical, a little bit inconsistent in certain spots as it relates with the passing attack. Riley Leonard broke out a couple of weeks ago against Stanford. He throws for well over 200 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Prior to that, entering the last few games, he only had 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Now he has 6. But still, they're not an offense that's predicated on throwing it 5 wide. They're still predicated on running the football. And that's where I think the advantage comes right in to Navy, because I think they're going to be in this matchup from start to finish. I think the Navy passing attack is above average, where if they do have success on the ground, they can hit Notre Dame with play action and maybe some chunk plays. They're playing with house money. All of the pressure on Notre Dame right now. There's no margin of error. If they lose this game, they're out. They're out of the college football playoff. They cannot afford to lose to a MAC opponent, Northern Illinois, and Navy, and then expect to make the playoff if they're a 10-2 football team. I just don't see it at that particular point. So they really need to win and step up. Navy, on the other hand, is undefeated. They're looking for an American Conference title. The potential for them and Army to meet undefeated is always there. They both play Notre Dame. So we'll see how that plays out for both of them. But they're playing with house money right now. They could afford to take shots in this matchup. They're on a neutral field. And their quarterback, Horvath, is an above-average thrower, I believe. So I think they're with 13 points. I'll give you the updated line, but I think they're going to be in it from start to finish. The game is played in MetLife. I can't bet it, so it won't be on my card. But I like Navy with the points in this ballgame. So I'll give you the updated line if I could get it quickly. And I lean to the under. I think the under was in the area, if I'm not mistaken, 51.5 I saw. I like under for the ballgame. So I'll give you the updated numbers in the break. BYU and UCF, interesting ballgame because I know this is Carver's system with the ranked versus the unranked. We talked about it briefly the other night that BYU beat this system a couple of weeks ago against Baylor. The other thing I think for me, and I've been on UCF in back-to-back weeks. I was on them a couple of weeks ago, laying 3.5 against Cincinnati. I was on them last week, plus the 13.5 against Iowa State. Biggest change right now is obviously the quarterback, Ja'Cory Brown, taking over for KJ Jefferson. The other factor is the rushing attack hasn't been as dominant as it was at the start of the year. When UCF started fast, they were averaging close to 400 rushing yards per game. They've dipped prior to last week down to 268. They got a little bit handcuffed. R.J. Harvey was under 100 yards in three straight games. They broke out a little bit last week. They're averaging right now into this matchup 280. So significantly lower, almost 100 yards less than where they were in the first three games of the regular season. Ja'Cory Brown has played well this year. Brown has completed 53%. He's mobile, one touchdown, two interceptions, but he could still break contain with the RPO game. The key to this matchup, playing at home for me, is they have to start fast. They fall behind BYU. Very good defense. They're going to get blown out. We'll come back. I need to BYU in that ballgame. We'll talk about another. Coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The banana in the tailpipe, Matias. You're rocking and rolling on a Friday night. Carver and Lisi breaking down college football like we always do every Friday night. Carver at the Catalina Wine Mixer. But, dude, it's the Catalina Wine Mixer, man. That's where Carver is. He's playing a little golf at the Cape Cod Special. Is that what it is, Matias? Cape Cod Special?
Yeah, it's the Cape Cod Special.
Cape Cod Special or something like that. I saw him playing golf. Anyway, I got bad news. Breaking news just came across my desk. He can't connect. He can't connect. We're not going to have Carver, so you're going to have to read off the picks after I give my picks. So at bottom of the hour, we'll give my seven picks. Carver's got to text me the actual records. I know I was 5-2. He was 4-3. I think I'm four games under 500, so we'll dive into that. We'll dive right into this one. Illinois and Oregon. Illinois playing very well. One loss on the year. They get the victory over Michigan last week. They ran it all over the Michigan front seven, 187 yards on the ground. Altmyer and this team are a blue-collar team. We know that now Oregon is the number one team in the nation. Offense and defense lines have been playing phenomenal right now. Dylan Gabriel leading that team. Really like what Dan Lanning has from a defensive perspective. He's adjusted. They've done and made some line changes for the offensive line. Let's not forget, you know, first three games of the regular season, biggest change from Oregon, right, early on last year to this year. Last year with Bo Nix, five total sacks allowed. Nix completed 78% of his passes. First two games against Idaho and Boise State, the offensive line allowed seven sacks. They've only allowed, I believe, at least nine heading into last week where they dominated on Friday night against Purdue. Let me just give you the updated line. They've allowed nine. So now through seven games, nine sacks. They made some adjustments, put in some new players, and they're starting to run the football more effectively. They're averaging 158 yards on the ground. Jordan James, an added addition. He's coming on as one of the better running backs in the Big Ten. He can run it. He can catch it. And Dylan Gabriel now making plays, not just with his arm, but with his legs. Defense now is starting to look like the defense that we saw in the middle part of last year as well. I think when you look at this game, 20.5, 21 right now. 21 and a half is a huge number. And I understand, you know, you look at Illinois, they're 4-0 as underdogs against the spread this year. Brett Bielema, all he does is step up. They covered against Penn State. They covered on the road again and won outright against Nebraska. I just feel like this game is going to be ugly. 24-14, I'm inclined to take the 21 and a half with Illinois in this matchup. So that's just the way I'll do it. I might take it from an in-game, especially if Oregon scores first and I get four touchdowns, 28 and a half. I might jump on that even from an in-game perspective. I think Illinois can slow down the game. I know Altmaier isn't elite, but he's still a battle-tested quarterback, and he's mobile as well. Give me the Illini with the points. Another game that I'll talk about, LSU and A&M. You know how I feel about LSU. I believe they're one of the better teams in the SEC right now. They've lost three straight in Kyle Field, but for me, it comes down to two factors in this game. Three straight in Kyle Field by 10 points per game. 2 years ago, they lost by 15. It comes down to the quarterback, and it comes down to the defense. Which do you believe more in? I believe more in Nussmeier and those weapons. Daniels, C.J. Daniels came back. Mason Taylor playing lights out. Caden Durham, the running back, freshman phenom with three rushing touchdowns on the year. Kyren Lacy. I just believe that if Texas A&M does jump up early, I still believe in LSU on the road with their quarterback and with their passing attack to come from behind. I'm not so sure I believe that with Connor Wigman and the Texas A&M offense. That's number one. Number two, I do believe LSU could get quarterback pressures on Wegman. I believe the offensive line for A&M not as elite as LSU, and that's another factor. LSU has not allowed a sack all year. You look at the offensive line for Texas A&M, they have allowed seven sacks in seven games. But the way LSU is bringing pressure, multiple players off the edge. We talked about Whit Weeks, Greg Penn. I think that's the difference. I think they win on third down. They win a close game, 24-20. LSU wins it. We'll come back. Week 9 college picks right here on Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Show that show. I'm a pinball hero. I'm 28-32 on the year. All right, let's go right into it. Week 9, College, Carver, and Lisi picks. Now, Matias, am I going to give mine first and then you'll rattle them off? Is that how we're going to do it here?
You do yours first and then I'll give all of Mike's. You do all of yours right now.
All right, let me jump right into it. And I know we have the music typically. I feel it pumping in my veins. I'm coming off a 5-2 week. I was seven games under 500. We bounced back a 28-32 overall mark. I smell the field. I smell the grass. I smell a potential 5-2, 6-1, or a crypto special 7-0. In week number 9, we're going to bell cows. We're going to teams that have made us money and have stepped up. We'll go with pick number one, TCU and Texas Tech. Texas Tech with a gutless, and I mean an absolute gutless effort at home last week as a 6.5-point home favorite. Sawyer Robertson and Baylor ran it, through it. They were never in that matchup from start to finish. Joey McGuire rolled the dice in the fourth quarter, and they got absolutely kicked in the chops. I went to take a shower. They were down by 28-plus points after they trailed by 10. This is a step-up spot for Texas Tech. It was homecoming last week. I'll give you a pass. I know that typically they don't play well on the road, but they do have one road win this year, and they stepped up. I think this team is focused. I think Taj Brooks, to me, is the difference. I'm not sold on TCU being elite. This line opened up at 5.5. You're giving me an extra point, 6.5. I think Texas Tech wins the ball game outright. They have one loss. They're still in contention for a Big 12 title. Joey McGuire has this team prepared and ready, I believe, from what I'm reading. They erased last week already. And the biggest thing, they're wearing black helmet, white jerseys, and red pants in Fort Worth. Give me the Red Raiders plus the 6.5, pick number one. Pick number two, another gutless team was Nebraska. I blinked. I went to the bathroom. Okay, after college football today, they were down 56-7. I don't even know how that happened, but five turnovers. They allowed the backup, Tavion Jackson in Indiana, to run it, throw it all over their face. They now have to get back on the road to face off against Will Howard in Ohio State. I've said this time and time again. Ryan Day is a good coach. He's not elite. Will Howard's a good quarterback. He's not elite. Everybody buying into Ohio State being this, you know, great team. They're good. I don't know if they're elite. I know they have elite weapons, but I don't know if they have that chemistry, that continuity. I know they're playing at home and they're dominant, but give me the 25.5. If you have any heart, Nebraska, if the black shirts are going to come back in any type of capacity, he got kicked in the chops by an undefeated Indiana team in Kirk Cignetti. You got to grab yourself in this matchup. Look at yourself in the mirror. Drag yourself on the ground and cover the 25.5 on the road. I think they do it. Matt Rhule, very good coach, especially as a dog, didn't show it last week. 25.5, I think, is way too much. Give me Nebraska, pick number two. Rivalry game. Florida State's won two straight over the Miami Hurricanes. Florida State lost for the first time in program history to Duke last Thursday or Friday night. They lost that matchup by 7 points, 23-16. I was on Miami last week laying the 4.5 against Louisville. They never make it easy. The defense is undisciplined, but Cam Ward with 319 and 4 touchdowns, as long as he's healthy, if they get up, I think they're going to absolutely boat race Mike Norvell and the crew. 1-6, I have no confidence in Florida State. It opened at 21.5. It's down to 20.5. Give me Miami laying the 20.5 in South Beach. I think they run it. They throw it. They prove they're the best team in the state of Florida. Miami, pick number three. Oklahoma, plus the 19.5. They fired Seth Luttrell, their offensive coordinator. They're going back to Jackson Arnold. I'm not sure Ole Miss is the dominant team that I actually thought they were. They lost two games now. They're at home in the Grove. I still believe in Oklahoma's defense. I know they got kicked in the chops by South Carolina, but in this type of atmosphere, catching 19.5 on the road, I think they make a statement. They don't win, but they cover the 19.5 against the Ole Miss Rebels. Pick number four. Texas going up against Vanderbilt. All I've heard all week, Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt, the Doors are 4-0 as underdogs, you know, on the year. They've stepped up. Alabama, Jalen Milroe. Texas, in my opinion, holds a speed advantage offensively and defensively. This isn't Georgia. I think Texas is going to start fast there. They're going to put a 50 spot on Vanderbilt on the road, laying 18.5. Give me the Longhorns. I bet against them last week. I'm on them this week. They get back into the national championship picture with a quality road win over the Vanderbilt Commodores, pick number five. Michigan has won two straight in the series against Michigan State. They won last year 49-0. I know they haven't looked good. Michigan State covered and won outright as a 6.5-point dog against Iowa. This is a get-right spot. The line opened up at 3.5. It jumped to 4.5. It's a rivalry game. Give me Michigan at home to cover this line. 7 or more, I think they run it. They throw it. Not sold on Michigan State in this spot, even though they're playing well. Give me the Wolverines to bounce back in a big way, laying the 4.5 at home over Sparty, and then pick number 7. It's tricky, but this team is gutty. Cincinnati, plus the 6.5 over Colorado. Don't be shocked if they win the ball game outright. Those are your 7 picks. Texas Tech, plus the 6.5. Miami, minus the 20.5. Oklahoma, plus the 19.5. Nebraska, plus the 25.5. Texas, minus the 18.5. Michigan, minus the 4.5. And Cincy, plus the 6.5. The Lisi picks. Matias, what do you got?
Oh, Joe, let's do it, baby. I got 2 minutes to go, and that's all I need. We're going to start with pick numero uno, UCF, minus 2.5 over number 11, BYU in Florida. BYU undefeated. Who cares? Mike's taking Central Florida, minus 2.5 Also, we go to the Washington. Washington State minus 14.5 over San Diego State in California. So, yeah, minus 14.5, pick number two for Washington State, minus 14.5. Then we go Ohio State and then Nebraska. Mike's taking the over, 47.5 points. That's pick number three. Pick number four, Duke at home, plus 11.5 against number 22 SMU. That is pick number four for Mike. And pick number five, big chess Mario Cristobal and the Miami Hurricanes, minus 20.5 over Florida State. Oh, man, another butt-whooping coming up for Florida State. And here's another one for you, Joe. You're going to like this one, Joe. LSU plus 1.5 at Texas A&M. Big pick for Mike right there. LSU plus 1.5. And finally, with the last pick, Texas minus 18.5 on the road at Vandy. Texas minus 18.5. And those are all Mike's picks. I'll go through them one more time, Joe.
I got you. So UCF minus the 2, Wash State minus the 14.5, over Ohio State and Nebraska, 47.5, Duke plus the 11.5, Canes minus 20.5, LSU plus 1.5, and Texas minus the 18.5. We're checker on a checker on Miami and Texas, correct? Matias, did I lose you?
No, you didn't. I just muted my mic. Yeah, you're spot on right there, Joe. LSU plus Texas minus 18.5 and Mario Cristobal's big chess Miami minus 20.5.
Sounds good. So it looks like maybe the potential for a huge week for both of us. I don't like that total OSU Nebraska, but God bless them. We'll root it in. When we come back, we'll talk more college football coming right back on Carver and Leasty. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi. Week number 9 of the college football season. I was breaking down the picks for week number 9. And Boston College just jumped all over Louisville, 20-0 now in the matchup. 20-0, Matias. They're interviewing Doug Flutie. It looks like a catcher's mitt. He's so wrinkled. It's amazing. I mean, he's gotta be in his 60s. unbelievable.
He does, right? I'm with you, Joe. He does have a lot of wrinkles, man. That's a lot of stress that he gets. All that quarterback.
Like Kramer. Unbelievable. He used to be doing Notre Dame games. I don't think he is anymore. So we'll see how that plays out. But I do like UNLV tonight. People have asked about the Boise State UNLV game. And we also have Rutgers and USC. Can't bet it. So not really apt to dive into USC. But I'll give an update. That's the late
night. Why can't you bet that?
Because Rutgers is a New Jersey team, and you can't bet it in the state of New Jersey. I can't bet Notre Dame either because they're playing in MetLife. That's why it's not on my picks. Otherwise, I'd take the shot on Navy, so I can't even bet that. So
if you could bet USC Rutgers, well, it's all good, Joe. If you could bet Rutgers USC, what would you take though? Would you take the 14 points for the USC? Because I want to pull the trigger, but I'm USC 14 points. I don't know, man.
I'll say this: if USC loses 5 games before the end of October, I said that Lincoln Riley's Clay Helton 2.0. How does this guy get by? He's getting paid $12 million. To coach USC. He hasn't won a big game there. He had the number one pick in the NFL draft, didn't even win a Pac-12 title. Lost 5 games last year. Took him to the Pac-12 championship. All right, Caleb was hurt. They lose outright to Tulane and Tajay Spears and Michael Pratt in the bowl game. I mean, come on, what are we doing here in USC? It's absolutely pathetic, the lack of effort each and every week. This team has talent and they can't beat Minnesota. You got to be kidding me. You can't beat Maryland. You can't. I mean, what do we do? You lose to Rutgers? And that's not a knock on Rutgers, Matias, but you're supposed to step up and dominate this game. I would probably take the points with Rutgers here. I don't love it. But, I mean, what has USC shown you why they should cover this game? You're going to lay the 14.5?
No, Joe. You know, if anything, I want to take the over. If I want to take this game in any way, shape, or form. Going at this game right now, you know, they made it at 8 o'clock. It's an 8 p.m. kickoff, so that's right after the Dodger game. The Dodger game first pitch was at 5:08. They want the people to go to the Dodger game, get all rowdy. Hopefully the Dodgers win. And then they want everybody to go watch the USC Rutgers game. You know, it's a crazy day here in L.A. A bunch of concerts, USC, Dodgers World Series. You know, it's a whole big plan. You know, an 8 p.m. kickoff, Joe, I don't know how many people are going to make it to the USC game tonight, Joe.
We'll see. I mean, they might have, what, 15,000 fans? I mean, I don't know. Maybe if USC had one loss, it's a tough sell nonetheless. I'll watch it. We'll see. In-game totals right now, let me give you an in-game line on this matchup in Chestnut Hill, because I want to see if I could dive in here. Yes, let me just see. They're not hanging it for some reason. Why are they not hanging it right here? Let me see. College football, give me the updated line. 9.5 for Louisville, plus 310 on the money line. I think I might take Louisville plus a 9.5. I'll take a shot on Louisville, and that was a tough line. But I might jump in and see if they could cover this second half. I believe in this team. They're driving right now inside the 30. See if you could get a good line. I'll take a shot just as a in-game wager. We'll jump on Louisville. Are you with me, Matthias? You going to jump on Louisville?
I am with you. No, I'm 100% with you. You know what? You're always really good at actually hitting these games. Once team takes, you know, take a big lead, you're always good at cutting the lead really quick, and they do. So I'm going to follow your lead on this. Absolutely.
All right, let's do it. Let's take Louisville. They're plus 9.5 at plus 102. I'll do it right now. Come on, let's go. Give it to me.
Load.
Come in. All right. Let's see. Now, of course, now it's minus 130. Okay, great. I'm in. I took Louisville. We'll root it in. We'll see if we can get some money there, Matthias. What do you think about that?
Plus I like it. I got it on plus 105.
Right.
We need some Lamar Jackson magic. Lamar Jackson magic for Louisville. Let's go.
Well, Tyler Shuck is not Lamar Jackson, I can tell you that. But Jacoby Brooks and Isaac Brown are there. Maybe we have a shot. I mean, we cut it to 20-7. We have a shot. Catch a 9.5. I don't know who gets the ball in the second half. We'll keep you updated in regards to that matchup. Let me give you some other games we didn't cover in the college football. I do like Nebraska. I already told you. Arkansas laying the 6.5 against Miss State. Miss State did cover against Texas A&M. Sue Piggy on the road. Laying 6.5. I think it's a beatdown. Now, typically, Arkansas and Miss State, this is always a tough game. Arkansas typically struggles at times with Miss State, but I just can't buy in. There's no offensive identity right now for Jeff Lebby. I know that they threw for 3 touchdowns last week, but I'm still not sold. 1-6 in the conference. I mean, if Arkansas goes to 5-3 overall, they're closer to bowl eligibility. That matters for Sam Pittman and this team. He's looking to save his job. He was on the hot seat at the start of the year. If they get this victory, they have the potential to at least, let's see, they play Ole Miss, Texas, La Tech, and then the rivalry game with Missouri. So they're going to really need to pick up this game. Minus the 6.5. Texas is obviously not going to be easy. Ole Miss is not going to be easy. And La Tech is the winnable game to get you back to 500. So give me the Hogs on the road in Stark Vegas. Another one I'll sneak in. I like Missouri plus the 15.5 against Alabama. More about what Alabama isn't than what Missouri is. With Drew Pine in the backups, give me the Tigers. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah! We are on the board right here at Louisville with a touchdown. 76 yards. 10 plays in 5-13, Matias.
Let's go, Joe.
Hopefully 7. We're catching 9.5. You know what? We should have taken a shot at the 3-1 money line. Maybe they could pull this game out. We'll see. Right now on FanDuel, I don't want to get too crazy. You know why?
Everybody was on Louisville. Greed.
Let them just cover the 9.5. I was on Miami last week. It was an emotional letdown for Louisville. It's now 7.5 in-game total, plus 250. Still 2-1 is not bad for this matchup, especially if you believe Louisville can get the football. Hopefully, do they get the ball to start the second half? If so, we might have to jump on that money line, see if we could cut it down. And no movement right now, 17-ranked Boise State and UNLV. I do like the running Rebs plus 162 on the money line, like the under 63.5 in the matchup. We didn't bring up this game. We'll talk about it. Washington and Indiana. Obviously, Curtis Rourke out for Indiana. It'll be Taven Jackson that comes in. Taven Jackson played well, completed 7 of 8 passes, 91 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Rushing attack, ground and pound, wore down Nebraska. You got a team in Washington that lost on the road to Iowa 2 weeks ago, 40-16. But they still, in my opinion, and I know I bashed the guy, Will Rogers, but he's still the better quarterback, I believe, in this matchup. If I had to bet this game, and I'm not going to, I would take Washington with the 6.5 pre-kick. I'm going to wait and see how this game plays out. You like
Joe, you're going to like this. You're going to like this, Joe. Louisville actually gets the ball to start in the second half. Boston College started with the ball of the game.
That's great. So if you want to jump in with us, we're sitting on 9.5 with the Louisville Cardinals. Like I said, I might take another look, see if I could jump in and sprinkle something on the money line. I like Washington just because of the quarterback. I don't know from an identity offense. Especially with Taven Jackson. He stepped in an in-game situation. Now he's making the start. A lot of pressure on them to maintain undefeated. They're still a dark horse to potentially not just win the Big Ten, but to make the college football playoff, even as an at-large team. So keep an eye out for that. Indiana, 13th in the nation, minus 205 in the money line, 54.5. Another game that was a little tricky to me. And Virginia did get the road cover against Clemson, lost 48-31. They were catching 20.5 to Tony Elliott, Dabo Sweeney, Dabo Sweeney connection. He jumped up. He had, I believe, a 28-point lead, and they cut it down to 17. They now face off against North Carolina. It's an underrated rivalry in the ACC. When you look at this team right now in Virginia, again, they could become bowl eligible, playing very well right now. And that's big for Tony Elliott. This program was down and out just a couple of seasons ago after Bronco Mendenhall left. Elliott was on the hot seat. He has the potential, but they're at home laying 3.5. And Anthony Calandria and the offense are more consistent right now than North Carolina. I would want to take the points with Mack Brown, but I just can't do it. I don't know what you're going to get at in North Carolina. The fact that the line opened up at 4.5, it's down to 3.5. I'll take a shot for Virginia to bounce back and get a quality win in this matchup. 59.5, I lean to the under. I think Virginia will run the football on the front 7 of North Carolina. I know that North Carolina's defense is atrocious. And Virginia gave up 48, but I still think Virginia wants to run it, slow down a little tempo, even though they have a good quarterback. Give me Virginia and the under in that matchup. Another game that we didn't touch. Let me see. I'm looking right now to see if there's anything else that meets my eye. I told you I like Missouri. Again, it's more on what Missouri is. Let me rephrase that. It's more on what Alabama isn't than what Missouri is. Drew Pine, still an experienced quarterback, played last week 10-21, very under the radar, under 100 yards. Nate Noel, the leading rusher, is out, but still, they're playing with house money. All the pressure on Alabama and Kalen DeBoer. They have 2 losses on the year. I mean, they lose this game. He's going to hear it on multiple levels. Do they start a little tight? They haven't played well at home. We saw them struggle in the second half with Georgia. We saw them struggle with South Carolina. We saw them struggle with South Florida for basically three quarters. Missouri didn't play well on the road against Texas A&M. The line opened up at 13.5. It's up to now 15.5, 16.